still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way.
Good morning, Claremont Baptist Church. Good morning to all our viewers from different social platforms. We wish you all a happy new year, 2021. Before we start our message, I would like to say thank you to the entire family of the Claremont Baptist Church for your contribution toward the Christmas party that we held in Capricorn in December. God richly bless you. And now it's time we will come to the message. As you know, from the beginning of this year, Pastor Peter introduced a series on clearing the path to Jesus. It's in the same way that I'm going to develop a topic that I've entitled Salvation is the Work of God. And our main scripture will be in Mark chapter 4, 13 to 20. But before, I'll just do a very short intro. As we approach the Word of God in the book of John chapter 1, there the Apostle Paul, John, introduced the concept of the Word that was from the beginning, the Word that was with God, the Word that came and lived among us, and the Word that saves, because he says that to those who believed in him, he gave them power to become children of God. So it's very important in the understanding of our scripture of today or our topic and message. Then I want just to read from Mark chapter 4, 13 to 20, the Bible reads, "Then Jesus said to them, don't you remember and don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmers sowed the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word of God and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble and persecutions come because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." So this is the scripture from which we are going to elaborate our theme. And from the scripture, I've come to realize that, or to take three main concepts which I would like to develop along this sermon. These concepts are the farmer, the seed, and the soils. Number one, the farmer. Jesus says the farmer is the one who went to sow the seed. So when it comes to farming, we know that we need a farmer, we need the soil, we need seed. And Jesus didn't explain who is the farmer, but he explains who is or what is the seed. He says the seed is the word of God. But let me first talk about the farmer. For me, the farmer might be God himself, or Jesus Christ, or a preacher of the word of God, because he's the one who is coming to sow the seed, the word of God. He's the carrier of the word of God. And if we remember, the Bible says, somewhere in the Bible, Jesus said that there's plenty of harvest, but there are few laborers. Then he recommended us to pray to the master of the harvest so that he can send in workers or laborers. It's very important, even though the concept of seed is not here, but here we are dealing with the concept of harvest. But I will not go deep in this distinction or this terminology, but I'm looking at the seed as the word of God. So the farmer being God or Jesus, but we as human beings, we can only go to sow the seed by the simple condition that we are sent. Romans chapter 10 says that how can they preach if they are not sent? So we need to pray to have farmers, to have those who will go out in the field and sow the seed. And remember, just if you look at the way it is set in this context, they don't speak about seeds as if there were many. They speak about the seed. And this seed is the word of God. That's number two. It's the word of God that must be sown. This means to us that as we go to plant, as we go to cast the seeds, we must make sure that we only have the seed. Because there are times, especially in our times, we see people trying to bring some of their maybe theologies or philosophies or whatever they want. They bring it as if it was part of the seed. That will create a problem. The work needs to be done in the proper way. So this seed here, that is the word of God, I say, it's not the word of people, not the word of the pastor, not the word of the bishop, not the word of the prophet. Our prophet says, our pastor, no, it's what God says. We need the word of God, pure word of God. Then the third concept is soils. As we read about soils, we find that there are four categories or kinds, sorts of soils. The first soil, or before I go to the different soils, I want to explain what is a soil in this context, in our context. Soil here means the state of the heart of human beings, because it's where we cast our seed. So we have four states of the human heart where the seed must be casted. The first one is a pathway, which stands about for human heart that cannot keep the word of God. So they don't have any predisposition to keep the word of God. There are such people in this world. And these people, because there is nothing to keep the word of God, the result is that Satan, our common enemy, will come and steal the word of God. People, these people we see, this first category, they have received the word of God. But what is the problem? The problem is that in their heart, there was nothing that could help them keep the word of God. And then Satan came and stole it. That's the first category. That was verse 15. Number two, rocky soil. This stands for people who receive the word of God with joy, but because they don't have roots in the word of God, what will happen is whenever there is a trouble or persecution, these people will not profit or let the word of God work for them. Because when persecution comes or trouble comes, they will be doubting about the word of God. They will be questioning the word of God. They will be asking a lot of questions. Why? Because they are not rooted in the word of God. So there is that. We still have the same problem even in our time, whereby sometimes even our own preaching and messages and sermons can constitute these rocks that will not enable the word of God to go deeper in people. Because people will not only believe in the word of God, but they will also believe in our word, in our promises. There are times we make promises that are not in the word of God. It's just what we believe and what we want people to believe. So because of that, we see that the word of God is not productive. Then we go to the third one, is about the rocky soil, which represents people who receive also the word of God. But the problem comes when the word of God is growing in them. Whenever there is something that will create worries in them, or wealth, the desire to have wealth and the other things of this world, it comes to choke the word of God. It was growing, but it is choked. Brothers and sisters, I will appeal to us, especially at the church leaders, that we must be very careful when we bring forth the word of God. Because there are times we present, like I've met some people like who could, when they are preaching or they are giving any message, they start telling you about how many passports they have finished, they have used per year, how many trips, how many cars they have, how many. And when we present all these things can constitute in the long run thorns that will choke the word of God in the lives of others. Because they will like to be like you. They will like to be like such and such. While we must present the word of God as it is. Jesus said, because these are obstacles to the word of God, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good courage because I've overcome the world. Which means to us that as we present the word of God, we must also take time to prepare people to say, when you come to Jesus, you come as you are. You can encounter problems, hardship, and whatever. The only promise we can give to you is that in whatever situation you will find yourself in, Jesus will be with you. You will face it with Jesus. But if we tell people like, oh, if you believe today, you will never be sick again. You will come out of poverty. You will and will make those promises. Later on, the same promises will choke. They are like thorns we put, and they will choke the word of God. And lastly, he speaks about good soil. He says the good soil are the people who, when they receive the word of God, The word of God works in their lives, transforms their lives, because it will produce fruits. From these four, I've come to conclude that salvation is the work of God. Why do I say that? Because look at the different kinds of soils. He says that the soil was already like that. And when the seed comes, it found the soil as it is. Let me mostly look at the last kind of soil, that is the good soil. From my little experience in farming, I know that even if the soil is good enough, there must be people who must clear it first from all the thorns, the rocks, and everything that will constitute, when the time comes to sow, to impede or block the development of the seed. So, when you look at this, you see that God is the one who is at work, because God can remove the stones. God can remove the thorns. God can transform a pathway. So it's the work of God, because even this good soil that produced fruits, somewhere there was someone worked on it. Someone transformed it so that it can be able to receive the word of God, which means to us that we need to believe God in the sowing of seed. Because the word is the word of God, the people are the people of God, and as we go, so we are sent by God. Then we need to make sure that we believe and trust God to set the heart of people to accept the message of the kingdom, as we read it even from Ephesians chapter 8. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." So it's God who saves. It's God who can orchestrate all this together so that people can come to salvation. Then, to almost conclude, I would say, now so what? As Dr. Ronnie used to say it in his sermons, whenever he wants to finish his sermon, he will say, so what? Now so what? Now, we want to be very practical in this regard. During this critical and difficult time of COVID-19, the church should clear the path of Jesus, or the path to Jesus, by number one, we as the church, we must join the government in its mission to save people's life and their livestock practically in the fighting of and eradication of the disease, and by providing assistance to people in need. What does it mean? It's very simple. As the church, we must encourage people to respect the protocols around COVID-19. The church, we must do that. It's one of our duty. The government is in its mission to make sure that the lives of people is protected together with the livestock. So we must be there. I will discourage some of the church leaders who think, because of maybe they have faith, they say, okay, if you come in this building, because I prayed for it, when you come in, you will never be infected. Yes, it's good for you. You have faith in that. But in the church, we must always try to protect the weak. If your faith is strong, not everyone's faith will be strong like yours. Paul says this, Paul says that I can eat any meat offered to idols. But because of my brother who is weak, I will stop eating that. It means not everyone will have your faith. But let us protect the weak in our midst. Then let us observe all the protocols. They will not affect our faith. Instead, they will help someone in our midst. So we must do that. That is number one. Number one, we must join the government in its mission. Number two, we must still, let's add to the government mission. We must also join the government in the fight and the eradication of the disease. How? The church should make sure, as I've been just explaining, let me speak about eradication of the disease. In a few weeks ahead of us, we will have the vaccine in South Africa. My concern is, how will the church react? How will the church contribute during this very time? Because we are hearing people say, these are not good to be taken. People cannot take, must not take vaccines and whatever. So how, what will be the position of the church in all of this? Because we must make sure that people's lives are protected. They are saved. How are we going to respond, brothers and sisters? This will be how we are going to contribute to assisting the government in its mission. Number two now, we must join God in his mission of salvation in the now and in the life to come. One, by spreading the message of the kingdom using all means possible. You know, I was wondering sometimes, I was just asking myself that we are there, coronavirus is just doing what it's doing, and people are dying. I was saying to myself that our main concern should not be only to see that there is no coronavirus, we must pray for the coronavirus to disappear, we must... Yes, it's good, it's part of our duties, but the main duty is that we make sure that people do not die without the knowledge of Jesus. They must be given opportunities to hear, because faith comes by hearing of the word of God. They must hear the word of God. So that's why we as the church, during this very difficult time, very dark time, it is time to wake up, a high time to wake up as a one man together and make sure that the gospel is preached and those who need it receive it. So that is number one in the second category when in the joining God in his mission. Two, through prayer and intercession, the church, we must pray for the preacher. It means the farmer, the one who must carry the word of God, must pray for them. We must pray for the word of God to be spoken in due time. We must pray for people so that God can allow, and this can allow God to do his will. Because people must be prepared. You know, sometimes when we go for evangelism, we must pray for people to say, Father, we want to go to people you have prepared for today. Who are these people God wants me to go to? So people need to be also prepared. And we do that in prayer. And God will do the rest. So brothers and sisters, as we conclude our message, we want to say that the concept of farm or farmer, concept of the seed and the soil have brought us to the conclusion that it's only the work of God who can send the preacher who can send his word and who can prepare the heart of people to receive the word of God. So this is the only way we can clear up the path to Jesus. May God bless us. Amen.
I can see clearly now.